The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should consider obtaining independent advice before making any financial decisions.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garimpero columnist for StockEd. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Today we're catching up with Milan Jerkovic, Executive Chairman of Blackham Resources. It trades under the code BLK, or Bravo Lima Kilo, to be sure. It last traded at 1 cent for a market cap of 100 million. Now, Milan is a well-known geologist with expertise in project evaluation, operations, financing and acquisition. He's probably best known for his time with Straits Resources. He also had stints with WMC, BHP, North Pacific, Hargreaves and Triton. His CV says he has more than 30 years' experience. Now, Blackham owns the Wiluna Gold Project to the east of Meekatharra in WA's northern goldfields. It comes with one of the biggest gold resource bases anywhere on the ASX. 3 million ounces or so in open cut positions and another 3 million ounces or so in sulphide underground ore. Now, I could bang on all day about Wiluna's troubled recent history, but as we are well into a 24-month turnaround story at the old girl, I reckon it's best to get Milan to give us a rundown of where he is at with the turnaround story and what he sees as the upside. With that, I'm going to say good day to Milan and welcome him to the podcast. Hi, Milan, and thanks for your time today.
Good afternoon, Barry, and good to talk to you again, and thank you for giving us the time.
Now, I mentioned the company was well into a 24-month turnaround story at Wiluna. So could I get you to tell us about the key components of the turnaround plan across both the geological and financial side of things? And more importantly, I guess, just what is the end game compared with where Wiluna is at today?
Thanks, Barry. So the key components of the turnaround story is to finally put the large geological resource base at Wiluna into a operating plan at stage one and then expand it to its full potential. Right now, there's a modest operation producing around 70,000 ounces of free milling ore. In May last year, we started a 24-month process. The first stage of that was to stabilize the current operation and lengthen the transitional cash flow that we need for the next couple of years so that we can do the work required to build some new infrastructure. The first part of that was to actually clean up the balance sheet. That was to actually retire all of our debt and security, bring in some new equity, which we've just recently completed a $52 million capital raising to assist with that. And we have retired now all of the monies owed to our current open cut mining contractor. We are now in discussions with another party to fund the next stage of expansion. And while we are funding this stage one expansion to produce a gold concentrate for the concentrate market, we are going to be focusing very much on making sure that we can produce repeatable cash flow from our current operation through to that point, which at this stage appears there's going to be September next year, at which time we'll be commissioning the concentrator and selling concentrates, you know, producing at around 110 to 120,000 ounces of gold in concentrates.
Right. And looking beyond stage one, what does stage two entail or envisage?
Thanks, Barry. The stage two envisages finishing the engineering and resource conversion work, which we're doing now. We have 5 rigs on site at the moment drilling away. And the idea will be to double the size of the current proposed 750,000 ton per annum concentrator to 1.5 million tons and capitalize the underground mine, which currently has 5 existing declines, 100 kilometers of development, very shallow. It's all above up 500 meters and a large resource base, as you mentioned, convert that into a higher category JORC resource, a longer dated mine plan, and follow up the first stage with a further construction of a crushing milling circuit, which will be dedicated to the sulfide circuit and doubling the flotation circuit to 1.5 million tons per annum, which will get us to around that 250,000 ounces a year production, subject to the grade that comes out of the mine, which we're sort of targeting around 5 grams a ton from the underground mine. And that's all is expected to happen within the next 3 to 5 year horizon. And in the meantime, we'll also continue to work on feed for the current free milling circuit. And if that resource work is successful, and reserve conversion, we could see us potentially in the next 3 year horizon operating both the free milling 2 million ton per annum circuit and the 1.5 million ton sulfide circuit in parallel at Wiluna, producing two different products, producing gold doré and producing gold concentrates for the international market.
All right. So essentially, they're getting the operation better matched up to its geological base, plus the development work that's already there. Obviously, that all points to the potential for a many multiple increase in the current market cap. How do you see that being delivered over time, given the past troubles Wiluna's had? I guess the key this time is to deliver on target, is it?
That's right, on a number of fronts. I mean, the first one is that we need to show that the current operation has got a reasonable runway of cash flow that and produce some stability over the next three quarters in that cash flow. We then need to deliver with the drill bit and turn this geological opportunity into more reserves by infilling our inferred materials to indicated. And the third component of that is to execute this concentrator, stage one concentrator, on time and on budget. And to that extent, we obviously have announced already, we're looking to, just because of the COVID-19 issues, to probably lag, while the mine development will continue, we'll probably lag the construction by 6 months from basically commissioning for March. It was meant to be March next year. We're looking at commissioning that concentrator in September next year. So there is no doubt, Barry, that Wiluna has a large geological endowment. It's finally been consolidated into one owner, which is small. We've got a balance sheet now. I'll put a management team together now that is much more experienced, both on the geological and operating and development side. And we now need to under-promise and over-deliver to bring back credibility to what is actually essentially one of the greatest gold fields in Australia, the northern goldfields of the Kalgoorlie-Norseman Belt. Wiluna is, you know, is a very historical belt. It's produced 4 million ounces already, and there's 6.3 million ounces left in resource, and there'll be much more to come as we start turning the drill bits in the future.
Right. Now, obviously, there was a good deal of support in the recent capital raisings for the turnaround plan and capitalising on the potential at Wiluna. What does the share register look like now, and were there any new names, parties that came in on the recent raisings?
Yes, we were very pleased with the quality of and depth of some of them. I can't mention because they haven't they haven't disclosed their shareholding, but essentially the key ones are the Delphi Group, which is Thomas Zuers out of Germany. His group now is at 33%, very supportive. They've come in because they see the scale and the geological potential going into a favourable gold market. And then we also brought in Franklin Templeton, which is a very large fund out of San Francisco, resource specialists. They're in there for the long haul. We've got another hedge fund out of Toronto, which has got 10% of the company or so, which is, again, money that came in on the basis of the scale of this and the deep value. And yep. they want to see us produce multiples of value today by focusing our capital in the appropriate way to get the cash flows, stable cash flows, up to the point where we can achieve multiples of valuation today. Right, so that's the plan. And we have the support from these shareholders to run as hard as we can and as fast as we can, as long as obviously we deliver, on promises along the way.
Now, I mentioned you'd been around, like myself, obviously, quite a long time. I was just wondering how you're feeling about this. You're excited about the challenge and the end prize?
I'm extremely excited about the fact that we got through a very difficult time, and now we can now look forward and talk about a geological opportunity that I think is very significant that's still available to be developed. And, under the head frame opportunities that have scale is what I worked on all my life. And also for once, we're hitting this in the right time in the cycle for gold. I mean, gold being a non-debatable currency is probably going to come into its own in the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. So we're expanding and developing our growth plan, I think, with the right geology, in the right sovereign risk environment, and also in the right macro environment for gold.
Mm, okay. Now, the transition to the sulfide production is obviously key to the story, and the plan includes a concentrate production strategy. Now, I understand that's common at many big mines in Australia, but probably not well understood by investors, although I see it as something that just this week St Barbara said it would pursue at its sulfide project in PNG. Can you talk us through the pros and cons of the concentrate production strategy and how the market might have changed for concentrates to the benefit of payability of the contained gold?
Sure. I mean, Wiluna has produced concentrates prior to this hiatus, recent past of free milling for 23 years, and then turned those concentrates into gold through a BIOX plant, very similar to what's actually operating in Fosterville with Kirkland Lake. It's the same plant, in fact. It's the sister plant in Victoria at Fosterville. So that's an older route of converting concentrates, and we have that plant on site. We don't intend to recommission that. The concentrate market has recently, for gold concentrates, has changed a lot. The payabilities have increased to the point where we expect to get net payables of around 80% of the gold in concentrates, if not more. And that's shifted by almost 20%. From 2 years ago, which has changed the economics between putting capital on site to convert it versus selling it to the market. The other thing that we've done is aligned ourselves with a group called Polymetal, which is a 1.5 million ounce producer listed on the London Exchange. They are one of the largest global processors of gold using POX technology, pressure oxidation. They have one plant, they're building another one, and they're talking to us. And the reason they're taking 70% of our concentrates and have entered into a strategic alliance is to secure long-term supply into the new POX plant they're building. The reason we prefer that route is that it is the most environmentally sustainable route, because any arsenic pyrite that you have that you put into smelters and refiners does get fumed. You have to capture those fumes in scrubbers, whereas with a hydrometallurgical route like the POX, it actually gets stabilized in the residue and it's not environmentally impacted. It doesn't impact the environment at all. So from a long-term perspective, interestingly enough, the largest sulfide areas like the Carlin Trend, where Newmont and the Barrick operate in Nevada, they used POX technology. So there's Macrae in New Zealand. Whereas in Australia, where we've got quite a lot of goldfield stranded deposits and some are operating like the Big Pit and Kundana, they're not using that. And it's one of the few large goldfields where there's a lot of sulfide resources where there isn't a modern POX plant to process the ores.
Yeah. Does that, given you're moving down that pathway, is there any strategic value looking beyond perhaps the Wiluna situation? And will there be opportunities that you develop some real expertise that you might be able to parlay out to some stranded deposits?
Yeah, so interesting enough, in our region, even with our 3 million plant, we have 10 or 20 stranded deposits. Some are quite sizable that are talking to us about process because they're not big enough on their own right to develop process plant. So there's discussion on that basis for some regional consolidation and adding that all into our 3 million plant. On the sulfide side, we definitely think so, but obviously we need to, first of all, answer the question about the scale and volume of what we can produce for Wiluna, which is the largest of the known deposits other than the Big Pit in Kalgoorlie, right? So we will do that first, but in the meantime, our arrangement with Polymetal is that they would want us to try and assist and provide, via our strategic alliance, further review opportunities in the goldfields to continue to increase the volume of feed into that arrangement.
Yeah. And just to finish up on the concentrate strategy, that 20% lift you referred to in payabilities, is that a function of the gold price increase or is there something going on in a broader sense?
The gold price for concentrate sales gives you a bit of a nick. There's normally a floor price below which you get a little bit less. Above a certain price, you don't get that much more. So there's a little bit of it. The main reason, Barry, from my reading of it, and I have been in the concentrate markets in copper and elsewhere for years prior to this, it appears that the demand by smelters, copper smelters, zinc, lead smelters, for precious metals input, which is actually a much, much smaller volume in their feed, but a much higher margin, to improve their pay, their economics, has become very competitive. So all the smelters out there are trying to source an amount of gold, which is low volume but enhances their economics, to put in with their feed into their smelters. And that appears to be why that's happened. And because the payability, the TCRCs have been very challenging for smelters and refiners over the last 5 years.
Right, okay. Now, obviously, there's the big existing resource base, and you talk about the under-the-head frame exploration strategy. But I was just wondering, perhaps a bit further out, is there what do you see as the exploration upside as potential second leg to the value story?
Right, yeah, so that's quite interesting, because if you look at this package of ground, which is, in a small company at this stage, it's the first time in 100 years that really the whole northern Wiluna Goldfields is sitting in one package. In that package, there's already a known four mine camp geological systems with varying level of understanding. So Wiluna itself, where we've got this 3 million ounces of underground, that resource is only really drilled to 500 metres. If you look at Jundee, which is 60 k's away, which is a similar geological setting, although they're free milling, they're mining well below 1,000 metres. And Gwalia is in the ore body sort of plane. It's 1.5 kilometres in the plane. So these systems continue for a while. So if you look at the immediate opportunity below the main Wiluna system, which is 3.5 kilometres long, there's multi-million ounce potential just under our nose there, which will get drilled as we get reaccess the underground mine and start looking at geological ways to expand our knowledge down deeper. The other geological systems or mine camps, we have three others. One is a Wiluna lookalike, which has been drilled, not mined. It's only 10 k's away, 270,000 ounces of resource there. That's got geological scale that's as big as Wiluna. It's only 10 kilometres away. It had no modern exploration and drilling. It's got a bit of cover, and because of that cover, it's missed. It's been missed by any recent drilling and exploration. To the south of that, 20 k's away, we're mining our feed for the next 12 months, comes from a Monza Granite system, which is very similar to the Thunderbox Gold Road Gruyere project. That's totally different geology, very large scale. We have two-kilometre long structures. We're mining one that's about a kilometre long. We've only drilled it down to about 150 metres. That has significant scale once we fully drill out that system. And where we'll be targeting at least another 2 or 3 million ounces down there over the next 5 years as we drill that out. And we've had some recent success, which will continue. As I say, we're drilling now. We'll start producing some of these results, demonstrate the scale and the potential of that. And that's a 3 million system. And the other one is called Matilda, across the road, 20 k's away as well from Wiluna. We mined there recently some of the free milling material. Most of it is free milling. It's called, and that again has quite, we've only mined it down to 150-200 metres. Hasn't been drilled much beyond that. And there's 10 kilometres of strike length on that that will eventually get looked at, and a number of shoots that will be followed at depth. Beyond those four known mine camps, there's a whole bunch of regional granite contacts and structural targets that we will define a bit better in the next few months and put out there as our sort of regional strategy to find something completely new, because the package of ground is quite significant. Where, in fact, I think I mentioned this the other day to somebody, if you took the 1,600 kilometres, put it over Leonora or, say, around Kalgoorlie, And if you applied the number of operators, each one of these mine camps would have another operator operating.
Okay.
So it's a different world for us, really. It's quite a large scale, and we're going to have to apply. It's not a question of opportunity. It's a question of how we maintain this in-house and deliver the results for shareholders without overstretching ourselves in too many directions.
I guess reflecting the scale of that opportunity, I see the You're planning a name change to Waluna Mining Corp, up for a shareholders' vote early next month. Just talk us through that. It's just reflecting what I guess is the new Waluna.
Yeah, it's going to be a relaunch of Waluna, total new branding. We're also going to crunch the stock back to, you know, about 100 million shares from the current, you know, close to 10 billion, and relaunch the company. The reason we've gone to Waluna, and a lot of people recommended that I didn't, is Waluna is a very, very, has a very rich history and heritage. It's got a historical context in WA, and it's a name that should be celebrated. It's had some bad press in the last 5 years, in the last couple of owners, and I don't believe it's deserved. I think Waluna, like Kalgoorlie, should have a similar profile in the gold mining space. I want to bring it back this is about reawakening a gentle giant that's sitting in the northern goldfields of WA.
Exciting stuff. Okay, just finally, just to wrap it up, if you could just bring it back a bit, and what, in terms of immediate or near-term news flow, should investors be looking out for?
Right, so right now you'll get another continuous update every month and a half on the drilling results, which are two-phase. Some of it is sort of exploration, extensional stuff, and the rest is resource reserve development into this immediate strategy going forward over the next 3 years. Beyond that, it's really how well we performed this quarter to show that we had a pretty poor quarter last quarter, because we were stripping a lot of waste to get to the ore. We've got to that ore now. We've got to show a turnaround in operating production and maintaining that margin. We are also in the process of trying to finalize some debt finance from a clean balance sheet to assist with the cash we've raised and the cash flow we're getting from operations, and there'll be some news about that in the next few weeks as well.
Right, okay. So there we have it, the story from Blackham Resources, soon to be known as Waluna Mining Corp. So thanks for your time today, Milan, and best of luck.
Thanks, Barry. Thanks for your time.